Good morning. I believe most of you know that I'm William Robertson. I attend here every once in a while. I live out on the lake. The song we just sang, Precious Memories, I hadn't intended to say anything about that before this lesson, but this is why we study God's Word, is to get the memories from Him that we ought to have in our day-to-day walks of life. Because as Christians, all of these things we're talking about, hope grows fonder. The closer we get to death, it's supposed to be that way. And the more we live as a Christian, it's supposed to be that way. So this was something that just caught my eye on the song this morning. But what we're going to talk about this morning are some words of inspiration that should help us. And we've all heard these words before because they're all coming from the Bible. We're not going to add to or take away from God's Word, because if we add to His Word, He'll take our name out of the book of life. If we take away from His Word, our name comes out of the book of life. So we understand the glad words in the Bible are for Christians. And it's for everybody that studies the Word of God to understand them. There's some glad, sad words in the Bible also. But these glad ones are important to us. We need to look at some of these and to think about them. And the first one I want us to look at is in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Romans 3 and verse 23. And it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How often do we think about this verse in our day-to-day walks of life? It doesn't say some people sin. It says all. You know, Christians, all of us, we know our sins had been removed when we entered into Christ and in the relationship. But that doesn't stop us from sinning in the future. We've got to learn how to follow God's will in order to be right in His sight. And we don't want to be one in the day of judgment that's held accountable for things we did, although we did them. And this is something that man need to really think about in their day-to-day walks of life. In 1 John, I'm going to get over here. Chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, whosoever committeth sin also transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. You know, how often do we as Christians, before we sin, think about what we're going to do? This is the key from not sinning. If we think about it and we know it's not right in God's law, then more than likely we'll never do it. Now, if we don't think about it and we go on and do it, then we have to confess it and repent it and move it out of our lives. We understand that. It's important. What was the purpose in Jesus Christ, our Savior, coming to this earth? How often do we think about that? Matthew 1 and verse 21, this is when He came. It says, and she shall bring forth a son, and shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. Wait a minute here. Jesus Christ came to this world, lived a perfect life, gave that perfect life on the cross of Calvary. For what reason? This verse tells us, to save His people from their sins. So what have we got to do in order to be saved? We got to keep the will of Jesus. This is why He came to earth. He gave us the rules, the regulations, and the things that we as Christians should follow. Because in following Him, we're going to be all right. In doing His will, we're going to be all right. And this is a key that man needs to think about more as the days go by. Because it tells us in a verse of Scripture why Jesus came. In Luke 19 and verse 10, it says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost." So think about this. When he was in Jerusalem and doing all the miracles and things he was doing and the teaching he was doing, why was he doing that? This verse tells us to seek and save that which is lost. We as Christians need to appreciate Jesus, appreciate what he's done for us, because his word will keep us from going to eternal damnation. And we don't want any person to have to go there. But as Christians, we've got to help others not go there. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief." Now, the Apostle Paul is the one who said that. You ever think about that? The Apostle Paul saying he was the chief of sinners. He knew he had sinned, and he is telling us he was the chief of sinners in that day and time. That doesn't make him any different from any sinner today, though. Sin is that which separates us from our eternal life. And the way we remove it is doing Jesus' will and carrying it and using it aright, because when we use it aright, we're helping save the souls of those people around about us. In Hebrews 7 and verse 25, it says, and this is talking about Jesus again, it says, "Where he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he liveth to maketh intercession for them." I want to talk about that for just a moment, because we think of Jesus, we know he died on the cross, and we know he coming back alive the third day and ascended into heaven. He's in heaven where he hears our prayers at this particular time when we pray to him. And we understand that. But the thing about it is, why is he in heaven? See, when he's alive on the face of the earth, it's talking about when he liveth. He still lives in heaven. We understand that. But to make intercession for them, that's for Christians. That's for those who love the Lord, those who will follow him, those who will keep his word on their day-to-day walks of life. And people need to think about this in their day-to-day walks of life, because it is important for all of us to think about these things. And as we go through our day-to-day walks of life, we go thinking about his will and his word, and we're supposed to. And we're supposed to read and study and apply it in the way that we're supposed to. You know, in John 3:16, this is the verse we use, and it's important for us. It's important that God's in the verse, it's Christ in the verse, because it's talking about both. When we talk about eternal life, we can't get to heaven without God. We can't get to heaven without Christ. And we can't get to heaven without the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you. Because the Word, all three of them, teaches us through his Word things that we need to know and learn and apply and utilize. And in this verse, "For God so loved the world." We need to think about that for just a minute. I've asked myself often, why does God love the world? Well, he created it. But that's not the reason he loves it, I don't believe. I believe he loves the people of the world. The people that need to come to him. That need to turn their lives over to him before it's eternally late. Because that's what he's talking about right here. He loved the world. That he gave his only begotten son. We ever think about that? What that cost God? Listen at me. Christ was in heaven with God. He was up there with him through eternity before this all happened. But then he sent Christ to the earth. That was part of God's plan, yes. But it was difficult, I'm sure, for God to send his son to this world to save the human race in this world. But that's what he did. He sent him. And he says, "Whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Our belief in Christ and following His will is what's going to keep us so that we can have eternal salvation in the day of judgment. Mankind need to think about this. And there's a lot of people around us that we can help with this, because the Word of God teaches us as Christians to be taking the Word seriously and following it according to the Word. In Romans 5 and verse 8, it says, "But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." It's amazing the way the Bible's written. He had the Bible written for mankind, for us to utilize. And when we read the verses of the New Testament scriptures, it applies to us today, the same as it did hundreds of years ago after the Bible was written. Because it's not going to change. God's Word doesn't change. A lot of denominations try to claim it changes, but I don't believe it does. What it says, it means, and we better follow it and better keep it and better keep it right in our day-to-day walks, because all of us are doing our best to walk right in the sight of the Lord. And that's what we're supposed to do, and we understand that, and we're supposed to do this. And people around us need to think about this, because as Christians, all of us, in our day-to-day walks of life, we get into different problems from different times. All of us have problems. And we do. But we have to face our problems. We have to go through them. And when we do wrong, we repent and come back to the Lord. And when we do right, what do when we do right? This is the key that man don't ever think about. When we do something right as a Christian, what do we do about that? Do we ever do anything about it when we've done something right? I think we ought to give God thanks for us doing that which was right. Why? Because that's what He wants us to do, is follow His will and not ours. So it's important for Christians to be thinking about. In 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth." This is a verse of scripture that's put in there for not only Christians, but for those that read the Word, and they need to understand this. He wants all people, that's what He's talking about here, to come unto the knowledge of the truth. You know, as Christians, we have a responsibility to others to tell them about Christ, to tell them about the eternal salvation that is in Christ, and to give them book, chapter, and verse about the plan of salvation so that they can become saved before it's eternally too late. We can look back in our own lives. I can look back in mine when I was younger. There's people that I missed talking about the gospel to because I was too busy. We're not to be too busy to tell others about Christ. That's the most important thing to each and every one of us. And these verses are talking about that, because the knowledge of the truth has to be dispersed among men, because if it's not, it's not going to do man any good. The Word of God has to be given out to the human race. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You know, think about this. Every one of us need to think about, how am I in the sight of God? And I don't think we need to think of that just one day a week. I think we need to think about it all the time, because we're Christians all the time. We're not Christians just Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. We're Christians Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all week. And this is important for Christians to think about, and we should think about it. You know, We perceive, as Christians, and the Word of God teaches us this, that God is no respecter of persons. You ever think about that? He does not respect people for people. But what about Christians? What does the Bible say about Christians? He looks out for us according to His Word. He gives us His Word so we can live by it. So why can we not do His will and keep it aright? This is the key that man needs to really think about, because as Christians, we're supposed to walk in the light, for He is in the light. If we're not in the light, we're not doing His will. And this is on our day-to-day walks of life. In Romans 2, in verse 11, this is something that man, if we're not careful, will get it distorted, and we don't need to get it distorted because we need to keep it aright. And it says, "For there is no respect of persons with God." You ever think about that? No respect of persons with God? God cares about us. He gave us a path to follow. When we're following it, we're going to be all right. When we're not going to be. And this is the key that all of mankind need to think about in their day-to-day walks of life. You know, we need to be glad that God is not a respecter of persons. You know, our country right now, we've got problems. We know we've got problems. We've got a party in Washington and the rules and regulations of this country that if we're not careful, we're going to all be hurt from it. Because they've already made changes. I forget how many it was yesterday. There was 20-some-odd changes that was made yesterday or day before from what Trump had put in, he took out. This is how quick the Democrats work. And we need to think about that, because we as Christians have to stand up for the truth. And how can we stand on someone that's not teaching the truth? Even in our political matters. You know, people don't think about God as much as we ought to. He doesn't respect people. He don't respect them for their education. He don't respect them for their riches or anything like that. He gave us the Bible. Why did He give us the Bible? So we could study and apply it and utilize it. You know, there's a verse of Scripture that all of us, as Christians, I think should think about in our day-to-day walks of life. In Hebrews 7, in verse 12, it says, "For the priesthood being changed, there's made of necessity a change of the law." You know, this is something that man, we don't think about too much in our day-to-day walks of life. Mankind, the most of them, do their best to live by what God's law teaches. But some of them go back to the Old Testament and try to bring it to the New Testament, which we can't do. The Old Testament, we don't live under it anymore. We live under the New Testament teachings. Why? What was the cause of Christ coming to the earth? To bring us the New Testament. To give us the life through His name that we are supposed to be following. And this is important. I want to read on from verse 12 here. It says, "For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. For it is yet far more evident, for after the similitude of Melchizedek there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of the carnal commandment, but after the power of endless life." Wait a minute. This is talking about Jesus Christ. He's the only one ever come on the face of this earth to bring endless life to mankind. And we understand that, and we should. And it says, he testifies, thou art a priest after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before the weakness and the profitable thereof. The law made it nothing perfect. Now, that's what we're talking about. The Old Testament, all of the teachings they had, made nothing perfect. That's what the Bible says. I'm not. It's what it says right here. It was. Now, was it sufficient for that day and time? Yes. God gave them that law and they had to follow that law. But what about when Christ's law come on the scene? What takes preeminence? His law or the Old Testament? Christ's law does. And we as Christians are supposed to stand up for it. And this is what it's talking about. He said, and he in this verse said it, but the bringing of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh to God. And that's the way we draw nigh to God through the New Testament teachings today. And man needs to think about that. Why? Because, remember there's a verse talking about blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. That was for 1 year. They had the forgiveness of sin a year at a time. It wasn't for eternity. What about when we repent of a sin and move it out of our life and don't go back in it? It's from now on, as long as we don't ever go back into that sin. The forgiveness is. So it's important for us to think about in our day-to-day walks of life, because we're Christians. And this change of the law made it possible for this new law of Christ. You know, man, don't ever think about this as much as we ought to, but as Christians, we're supposed to, and this is something that a lot of people need to really think about. In Galatians 6 and verse 2, there's a verse here that should help us. And it tells us all, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let me ask you a question. Y'all don't answer it. Just think about it. When's the last time you helped someone out that needed help? We're supposed to bear ye one another's burdens. That means help each other out in our day-to-day walks of life. Doesn't it? Does to me. If I've got it wrong, y'all can tell me, because I believe we're all supposed to help one another to make it to heaven, because this is something that man needs help with. We've got to follow God's law, yes. We understand that. But there's a lot of people that we as Christians can help. In Romans 7 and verse 4, this is where we're going to, is where we're bringing the law out of our lives into the New Testament teaching, because here in Romans 7 and verse 4, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the body by Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. This verse says a lot to us as Christians. It tells us some things that we need to understand. And it's according to the body of Christ what it said, that we should be married to another. And that means when we are, and this is the marriage that Christians make unto Christ. When do they make that marriage? I'll tell you when we all made it. When we entered the water grave of baptism and rose to walk in newness of life. Because before then, we wasn't in Christ. All we done before we got into Christ is important to us, yes. But when we think about it, the best move we ever made is becoming in Christ. And that's what this verse is talking about. And it also tells us that we, talking about Christians, should bring forth fruit unto God. Each one of us individually is supposed to bring forth fruit unto God. What we need to understand in our day-to-day walks of life, how close am I following Christ if fruit is not following along after the fact? Because preachers and teachers, I know a lot of them, they preach the gospel. And I've talked to a lot of them about it. And a lot of them worries about the people they're preaching to. Now, why would they worry about the people they're preaching to? It's not because they're not preaching the truth. Because the people hears them, and they get up there, and they all tell me this. They'll come back to church a few Sundays after, and some of those people they've been talking to have just quit the church. Now, why would they worry about somebody that's going to quit the church? Because the eternal soul of that person is still at stake, even though they're not in the church. That can change anytime they change their mind and come back to Christ in the way the Bible talks about. We understand that and we know that. But here, people need to understand we have to think about this because we're Christians and we love Christ. And we have to understand the Word of God. You know, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4, there's a verse here that all of us, I think, can look at. It says, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ. Now, the Bible's written. It's right there in front of us. But what happens if we don't read it? I'm talking about on an individual basis. What happened to God's word if persons don't read it? They don't become familiar with what God wants us to be familiar with, is His Word. And this is so important for us in our day-to-day walks of life. And there's a lot of people that just don't think about this. You know, when we think about it, we need to think and read and study and remember. My soul, when I'm reading and studying His Word, is important to me and it's important to God. But when He tells me something to do, I've got to do it in light of His Word the way He tells me to do it. Not adding to and taking away from. This is a problem the world has when we think about this. But there's a lot of people that don't ever consider this in their day-to-day walks of life. You know, there's a saying I've heard, and I know you have too. My faith does not stand in the wisdom of men. And every Christian that says that's telling the truth. Man's wisdom is not going to save any one of us. And this is important for us to think about in our day-to-day walks of life. Because as Christians, we've got to be doing God's will. And this is what is important for us. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 5, it says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of the world that come to naught. But we speak wisdom, speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Think about that. Christians is the ones going to have glory in the judgment day. There's a lot of people who believe there's going to be more than Christians in heaven. But according to God's word, Christians are the only ones going to make it. And I mean those who stand for Christ and do the will of Christ and follow His will according to His will. What are they doing when they're following some man that wants to teach them something that's not in the Bible? They're following falsehoods, the teaching of mankind. And we can't do that and be right in the sight of God. We all have an obligation that a lot of people, they never even consider as Christians. In Acts 17 and verse 11, it says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. That's just like the lesson I'm giving this morning. We can go home and read the Bible and take the verses and read them and hopefully get the same thing we're talking about right now out of it, because that's what it's about, using God's Word in the way God wants us to be. And members of the body is who he's talking about here, that with the readiness of mind search the Scriptures daily. You know, Christians don't realize a daily study of the Bible, according to this verse, is necessary for all of us. We should all be studying his word more in the future as we get closer to eternal judgment than we have in the past, because God's word is the most important thing to each and every one of us. And mankind need to think about this in their day-to-day walks of life, because it is important to us. And how come I can say something like that? I'll tell you why. John chapter 5 and verse 39 tells us all, and by the way, this is in red, that means Jesus said it. He said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So when we're reading and studying the Word of God, we need to always remember this verse, that the Scriptures are testifying of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we need to think about it and use it and follow it, because it is important. In Philippians 2, this is a place that a lot of people, they need to think about it more, I think, than they do. Philippians 2 and verse 12, and he's talking here to the beloved. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence," and he's talking to every one of us, "work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now, why would we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling if it was easy to get to heaven? See what I'm saying? It's a difficult task to follow the will of God and do his will in our day-to-day walks of life. But when we follow his will and do his will, we need to understand we've got to... we're in the absence of Christ in the sense that he's not in the earth, but he is in the earth by the word that he left us. And his word is what we're following. We've got to work out our own salvation. Nobody's going to work out anybody else's salvation. Now, can we help others? Yes. But we can't work it out for them. Going by God's rules and regulations is important to us, and we're supposed to be doing the will of God. You know, John chapter 12 and verse 48, it tells us something here that a lot of people, they don't seem to think about, that I think that all of us as Christians should be thinking about. And it says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judge him. The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." How often do we read the Bible and see what we got to do and do what he says? That's what it's all about. Continue to study, continue to apply. And when we learn something that it tells us to do that we hadn't been doing, guess what? We need to start doing what the Bible says, not what we think. Because we got to follow God's will in order to make it to heaven. And this is what it's all about. We're heirs in the kingdom with God in Christ. And this is what it says for us to understand in our day-to-day walks of life. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 17, we're called heirs. It says, "And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." You ever think about being a joint with Christ? That's what this verse is talking about. Christians are joint with Christ. That's what it's talking about. Joint heirs with Christ. When we're doing his will and keeping it right. If so be we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. There's a verse of scripture that talks about if we suffer for Christ, we're doing great. If we don't, we're not. And that's what man, I think, need to think about. And we're joint heirs with Christ. And we're children. You know, there's a few verses of scripture I want to use before we close the lesson, because I think that we as Christians need to think about them in our day-to-day walks of life. And there's a lot of people that need to think about what God's will is for them in this old world. John 3, in verse 3 through 5 is where it's at. And it's important for us to be thinking about in our day-to-day walks of life. And it says, Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How often do we read that verse? How often do we tell others about that verse? This verse is essential to his plan of salvation. And this is why he placed it where he did. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, I know that's something that man don't think about too often. You know, we worry about the children. We don't need to worry about the children. Because when they die and their age is not of accountability, they're going to be in heaven. They're going to be there. But the rest of us that's past whatever age it is, and I don't know what age it is, different for different kids, I'm telling you. But when they come to the age of accountability, they need to be thinking about this. Think about that. Do we teach our children on their way up that there's a time in their life that they have to obey God in order not to be in hell in eternity? That's what he's talking about right here for us to understand. He said, Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Well, that's not what he's talking about. Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's baptism. That's what he's talking about right here. He says, Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So Jesus wants us to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, and then to walk in the paths of righteousness until we die. That's all he's talking about. It's the beginning of our journey. Think about this. When did we begin being a Christian? After we were buried and rose, become a Christian, then we begin being a Christian. And that's all it's about. Continue on the path. Who decided that I'd be a Christian? I did. Same as everybody else when they become Christian. They did. Because people have to be following God's will. And this is important. There's something that man, they always want to get everything out of joint for people. But we as Christians need to think about what mankind says and does at times. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, and this is the last verse we're going to use, says, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That should make every Christian be happy, knowing that the work we're doing for the Lord is not in vain. It may be vain to the world, but it's not to Christ. And it's not to us. Because we do our best to help save the souls of others, and we're supposed to. There may be someone here this morning who needs to obey the gospel. And there may be someone who needs to repent of their sins. If there is, we'd ask them to come while we stand and sing.